song, Bob. Thanks for finding that and teaching us. I never knew that there's a song called it. Teach me to pray. I don't need this right here, do I? I mean, I can go like this.
Yeah.
We're still okay? It's a lot. All right. Well, I'll let you stay seated as I read God's word this morning. Comes from Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John taught his disciples." He's referring to John the Baptist. He said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." That's it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear the familiar, help us to listen with ears and a heart today that is like a sponge, wanting to hear from you. And Lord, it is you through your Holy Spirit who makes your word come alive, where we learn new things that maybe we thought we had heard before and we learned a long time ago, but today may be somewhat of a refresher, or it may be something brand new for someone here today. Now, Lord, I pray especially for the young ones that are here today, as it's probably the first time they've heard a message of what I'm going to give today. May you use this in their lives and their hearts as you have in mine. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, anytime a pastor gets a chance to talk about prayer, I know probably some of the first things that come to mind is a great opportunity to make you guys feel guilty. But that's not why I'm here. And that's not what the message is about here today either, is to make anyone here feel guilty, but to be able to encourage you to just think about your prayer life. Just think about your prayer life here today, and the words that we have in Scripture that are here before us. So I want you to think, ask yourself this question here this morning. If Jesus prayed, then do I need to pray? I've always found it fascinating that Jesus is referred to as praying often, and he'd go off into a solitary place to spend time in prayer. And you start thinking, well, if Jesus, who is God and the Savior of the world, needed to pray, then I guess I need to learn something from his example as well. Prayer is that topic that many people know about, but all too often neglect. I've been a pastor long enough in life to know that if you call a prayer meeting, a church prayer meeting on a Wednesday night, guess who shows up? The pastor only? Now you might get two or three other people. God's always there, which is good. But you know, and why is that? Just ask that, you know, why is that? Why is it when you say like, okay, we're gonna have a prayer meeting, well, people then automatically think that, okay, I don't need to go to that. I don't need to make any changes in my life to make sure that I'm at the prayer meeting. If it's on a Sunday night, if it's on a Wednesday night, whenever it may be. We have before us today a text where one of the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." He knew that John the Baptist taught his disciples, his followers, prayer. And so he asked Jesus, because he knew that he went off to pray by himself, that was important. I want you to know this first thing about prayer, that prayer is not something that comes natural to us. It doesn't come natural to us. Prayer is supernatural, where the Holy Spirit begins to work in your life to just be able to say, why don't you pray about this? You're worried about it, you're thinking about it all the time, but why don't you just bring that request and give it to God and let God help you with what's on your mind anyway and the concerns in your life? But prayer is not something that comes natural. Ever known that? So anytime that you get a thought in your head that I should pray, guess what? It doesn't come from you. It is the Holy Spirit beginning to stir something new in your heart and life to remind you that you need to pray. Simple, just simple things. But left to ourselves, we would never pray because we know what to do and we can handle it ourselves. I don't need anyone. I don't even need God. Which is a real mistake. But that's the way we are when we don't have God, and we don't have a relationship with Him in our lives. We just think we can do everything ourselves. Prayer is addressed in a personal manner. It comes from one of Jesus' own disciples saying, teach us, Lord, how to pray. And so it is seen in light of a relationship with God. A desire of every believer and follower of Jesus Christ is to know God more. And guess where we get to know God more? It is spending time in His Word. It's also praying to Him. It's not a waste of time. And maybe the first thing that comes to your mind is like, oh, I don't need to take time. I'm too busy. I can't pray. There's even somebody who wrote a book that got that title, Too Busy to Pray. I think back in my life, there was a time when I was a child, and I didn't know how to pray. But it was something that came to my mind I wasn't even 10 years old. And I remember asking my mom, Mom, how do you pray? And so she taught me this prayer, and you were probably taught this prayer too. Now I lay me down to sleep. What's the rest of it? Yeah, you know it. The part of that prayer that got me was, if I should die before I wake. That scared the living daylights out of me. But I want to sleep, but I also want to wake up in the morning. But if I should die before I wake, I prayed the Lord my soul to take. I was comforting. But I was thinking at that time, even as a young person, a young little whippersnapper, where would I go if I died in my sleep? I wasn't sure I'd go to heaven. And I'm sure my mom would have said, oh, sure, you will. You'll go to heaven. Timmy, you'll go to heaven. Only my mom can call me Timmy. God doesn't instruct us to pray to just give us something more to do. I want to make that perfectly clear. God isn't out to make us busier or to give us things that don't really matter, to give us more things to do, because He knows we're wired. We like doing things. We like doing things. If we can do it, we kind of will do that. We go like, good. Now God will smile upon me and He'll love me more because I accomplished in doing this. But that's not the reason why God loves you. He loves you because He's always loved you. It doesn't matter on what you do, but it's who you are, that he died on the cross for you. So that makes you special. It makes you diamonds. You know? Some of you say, like, I sure don't feel like a diamond here today. Well, then you're 24 karat gold. You're precious. And it doesn't go by feelings. It goes by the fact of what God says and how he looks at you. That's what is important. Thank you very much for that. So prayer, when it comes to prayer, what is it? Prayer is just simply this, my friends. It is just talking to God.
Just start talking.
Don't make it complicated. It is just simply talking to God as you would talk to a friend, as you would talk to somebody else. Prayer is like that. God doesn't mean you have to change your voice and go, okay, God, I'm going to pray to you right now, and I hope you hear me. It's not changing your voice. It's not changing the volume. It is just simply, he knows what's going on. You just talk to him.
Pretend he's right in front of you.
Yeah. Just like he's right in front of you. I think you should come up here and preach. We learned this last week when we heard about Mary and Martha. Remember that, some of you that were here? You know, it is there where Martha's busy in the kitchen, and she comes back to Jesus, and Mary is sitting at his feet, and she says, Lord, tell Mary to get off up of her behind and come out into the kitchen to help me get this work done, because I got to feed all 13 of you guys that are in my house. Tell her, because I'm working my fingers down to the bone. And Jesus said to her, Martha, Martha. Whenever Jesus repeats himself, and especially uses a name, it's not good. Just like when you get called your middle name. When your mom calls you by your middle name, you know she's serious. Martha, Martha, and Jesus says to Martha, Mary has chosen what is best. Your mind, you know, you're upset, you're worried about this and that. You are thinking about a lot of different things, but Mary has chosen what is best. She's sitting and she's listening to what I'm sharing here with the other disciples. So Martha, drop what you're doing in the kitchen and sit down here with Mary and listen a while. I don't think she did. And so we learned from last week's message that Mary really kind of lived out Psalm 46:10, beginning where it says, be still and know that I am God. Isn't that the hardest thing for us to do, is to be still in silence? I think we should do that some Sunday. We're just going to say, like, okay, we're just going to listen. And some of you may go, like, well, how long?
That's hard for me.
20 seconds will seem like 20 minutes. But to be still and to know that I am God is where we depend on who God is and not on who I am. Big difference. Be still. Know that I am God. I came here to hear the worship band. Well, not today. We're going to do something a little different. And Bob is going to say, we're going to have to listen to that babbling brook. I'm saying, no, I'm going to be quiet too. And see how long it takes before we get really uncomfortable with silence. But that's when God speaks to us, is when it's quiet. The book of Psalms is a book where there's a lot of prayers that have been written down for us. Prayers of praise, prayers of confession. It expresses a whole lot of different needs throughout the book of Psalms. It's probably why it's such, it's one of the biggest books in the Bible. But it's there when David, who wrote most of them, really shares his innermost thoughts and feelings, things that he was going through. And man, David is a man. We are not that good of expressing our innermost thoughts, are we? Your wife is saying more to you than often. It's like, well, say something. What do you think? And you go, whatever. That's not what she wants to hear from you. She's given you a wide open door of saying, I want to know what is going on inside of your ticker, inside of your heart, and that it's important to me. Tell me what you're really thinking and how you're feeling about whatever it is she wants to know. I'm still learning at age 63 that this is true. You never learn it fully. But some of you guys are better at it than I am. And some of you can be younger than me, and you're better at it already than I am. But those of you that are 80 and above, you should really be good at this. And that's why I like visiting with you kind of people that are 80 and above, because you have wisdom. There are things you've been through that I have not been through, things you have learned that God has taught you that I have not learned. And I like to learn from others so I don't make the same kind of mistakes or make mistakes that you learned from years ago that would be helpful for me today and in the future. And that goes for all of us here today. There are a lot of books that are written on prayer. You can buy CDs. We can watch DVDs on prayer. You can have Bible studies on prayer. You can hear it on radio, on TV. You can even go to prayer seminars. But all of those cannot take the place of spending time alone with God. You know, and I mentioned all of those things. It's things that we can do. And they're good things. But they cannot replace with you spending time alone with God. Do you hear me out there?
Yes.
Okay, all right, thank you. Thank you, Cindy. I heard you. How about over there? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, as long as you got your heads going like this, I'm good. Prayer is not getting in touch with yourself, but it's asking God for wisdom, guidance, and help. It's depending on who God is. You remove yourself from the equation, and it is you depending on Him. The more we depend on God, the better off we will be. If you've ever been to a doctor's office or the doctor has come to you, one of the first things he'll want to do is he takes out his stethoscope. Why does he do this? Well, that'll happen before they prick you and take your blood. But he takes out the stethoscope and starts listening to your lungs, and he'll say, okay, take a deep breath, hold it in. Okay, let it out slow. And he'll move it around another part of the lung. He'll say, do the same thing. And he's checking for your breathing, the air passages, because it'll tell him if you are okay. If he hears some congestion in your lungs, then it tells him that something's not quite right here. You've got something going on with your lungs. It is the same way with prayer. There is inhaling and exhaling. Inhaling is when we read and we take in God's word. That's when we're inhaling. Exhaling is when we speak to God because of what we read and we are giving out. Make sense? And if you're not breathing, guess what? What does the doctor say if you're not breathing? You're a goner. If you do not pray, if you're not inhaling and exhaling, you don't have any prayer going on in your life, that tells you that you are spiritually dead. Oofta. Doesn't sound good. I don't know what oofta means either.
Oofta doesn't sound good.
But we're spiritually dead. If you find yourself, I'm not praying. And are there temptations for you not to pray? Are there reasons for you to put it off and say, I don't have time today, or I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it tonight, I'll do it before I go to bed? The best way to go to sleep is to start praying, because you know you'll be sleeping in about 10 seconds. Without prayer, spiritual life will die. Jesus gives his disciples here a model to go by. You know, it's not the only prayer that Jesus prayed. It's just a model to go by. And there's other ones that have come up along the way that I've learned over time as well. It can be like an acrostic, the book, you know, like Acts, A-C-T-S. It is, A stands for adoration. Adore God. Lift God up as you begin your prayer. C is to confess. Confess your sins. Confess the things that are going on in your life to God. T is to be thankful. Thank God for that he's listening to you, because he does. And S is supplication. S is to bring to him the other things, other people that come to your mind that you would like to pray for. It's just kind of a simple little rule that you can use, but it's just a model, something to go by. Acts, A-C-T-S. Another one is just by using the fingers on your hand. You got five fingers? Yes, you include the thumb as a finger. And you can have adoration, petition, confession, intercession, and thanksgiving. Just another way. But the main thing I just want to leave with you today is this, is that by Jesus talking to his disciples, teaching them how to pray, it is basically this, is that we have a God who is a prayer-hearing God and a prayer-answering God. God does hear your prayers, and God will answer your prayers. He will answer them with a yes or a no, or wait. Do you like wait?
No.
I didn't think so. But you need to learn how to wait. Yep, you gotta wait. That's a hard one. And I keep telling people, I run into people over the years who go like, well, waiting, what does that resolve? I go, you're still doing something by waiting on God. You're expecting him to answer your prayer somewhere along the way, and then when it's answered, you need to share that with somebody. You need to share that. Saying that God heard, God answered it this way. It wasn't the way I thought it was going to be. It didn't happen in the timing I thought it was going to be. Because as Americans, we want everything fast and quick. That's why you have a microwave. Put it, nuke it, it's done. Drink it or eat it. Remember when fast foods came out? Fast food restaurants? Really, they're not fast anymore. But God hears prayer. He answers prayer. And he loves you tremendously. And we are learners along life's way. Yeah. I'm done. Time check. I got thumbs up, so I was going to. Now let's pray. Lord, there's a lot we can learn about prayer, and this is just like a little introduction. There's a lot more that can be said. We'll be saying the Lord's Prayer here shortly. But how many times, Lord, do we say it? Just to say it. And we just don't even think about the words. Maybe today that will change. But we thank you, Lord, that you prayed. The Apostle Paul mentions prayers and praying for others over and over again in the epistles. We know there was many prayers that in the Old Testament that you answered. And It's still that way today. Without prayer, Lord, ministry is not ministry anymore. No matter what we do, no matter how busy we are in the church, if it's not prayer-backed or backed by prayer, it'll just be busyness. And Lord, we pray for changed lives. We pray that people will come to know Christ as his or her Savior, understand your word in ways they never understood before, because you made it come alive. So thank you for this morning. To give us something to think about, something to talk about, something to chew on, that will be good for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us stand as we pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. As it says in Ephesians 6, verses 23 to 24, peace to the brothers, and I'll just add, and the sisters, and love with faith from God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love.